So good morning, everyone. And first of all, let me begin by saying how happy I am to be able to be here with you at the closing of this conference. Some of you may be aware that over the past couple of days, I've had a bit of a health challenge, but I am fully healed, and I'm truly happy to be here with you to close this conference out. I'd also like to begin by thanking the conference organizers as well as Penny for a job very, very well done. I've been back this morning and I've heard only very good things from so many of you who've just raved about both the scientific content, the integration between program science and policy, and the wonderful opportunity that we've had for networking at this conference. I'd like to thank the conference organizers and the co-chairs for just doing an excellent job with this meeting. So thank you. So I'm really honored this morning to do the closing plenary for the conference, and I'm honored on a number of fronts. First, because I have a chance to speak to colleagues in STD prevention, and many of you know that that's actually where I started my professional career and started my CDC career in the STD division. So whenever I have a chance to engage with longtime friends and colleagues, as well as a professional group, that means a lot to me. It does mean a lot to me as a professional leader, as a leader and as a colleague to be back with you. But it's also an honor to be here to share the podium with two of my leaders from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Jonathan Merman, who will be speaking today, as well as Dr. Gail Bolan. These are part of very stellar leaders we have in our national center that's really helping to change the way in which we conceptualize prevention for infectious diseases in the United States and globally, who bring tremendous passion to the work, who are dedicated and focused to the public health mission, and who are just generally fun to work with. So I'm really pleased to be here to share the podium with them and to thank them for their leadership as well. So I have a few minutes to set a little bit of context for this session this morning. And Gail asked me to reflect on the National Center and some of our new strategic directions and approaches, but also to share with you the underpinnings for the directions in which we're going at the CDC in the National Center for HIV/AIDS, Viral Hepatitis, STD, and TB Prevention. And I'd really like to begin by reflecting on some key themes that many of us have heard throughout the last 3.5 days at this meeting. First of all, reflecting on where we are with dealing with the public health crisis related to HIV, STDs, and in fact, sexual health in the United States. Throughout the course of the conference, we heard recurring presentations reflecting on the high population burden of these infectious diseases, and the fact that they are not randomly distributed, but are found disproportionately among young people, among racial and ethnic minorities, that we're seeing tremendous geographic heterogeneity or variations across the country, that we're seeing not only the high burden of disease within particular population subgroups, but the overlapping of epidemics and syndemics associated with reproductive ill health, drug abuse, and other conditions. Throughout the conference, we've heard recurring presentations reflecting on the high cost of these infectious diseases, currently estimated at about $16 billion per year. But we've also heard throughout the conference that our investments in this cluster of infectious diseases are not keeping a pace with our need. And therefore, as we think prospectively, as we think towards the future, we, as a group of colleagues, will need to think about how we use the available resources more effectively, but also how we continue to tell our story and how we continue to advocate and to partner around increasing the investments for these infectious diseases. Finally, throughout the course of the conference, I'm sure many of us have participated in presentations where we reflected on some of the challenges with achieving optimal coverage and scale with some of the most effective prevention interventions. So whether it's HIV testing or chlamydia screening, we know that we could do a lot more with effective use of our resources, but we know that there's a lot more that has to be done to achieve population impact. So I'd argue then that there are some common themes that really should both guide what we're doing today, but should help us to think about where we need to be going in the future. And by understanding some of these trends, I think they can help us to better refine our prevention efforts, as well as to take on new challenges which may lay ahead. So first of all, I think it's important that we are honest about the dynamic nature of the challenge that we have. The fact that we're dealing concurrently with changing demographic profiles, changing epidemiology, changing cultural norms and values, and indeed changing political contexts. And indeed, over the past few weeks alone, the new national discourse on women's health, on reproductive health rights, really brings to the fore the dynamism and in the context within which we're working on a day-to-day basis. Second, health inequalities are a reality for these clusters of infectious diseases, and we see some of the worst health inequities for sexual and reproductive health outcomes in the United States and around the world. So as we're thinking about our prevention programs today, and as we're planning and strategizing for programs for tomorrow and beyond, we have to factor in our efforts to more effectively deal with health inequalities. Thirdly, our infectious diseases are becoming more concentrated among individuals who are socioeconomically disadvantaged, among minorities, and those with poor healthcare access or with high prevalence of risk behaviors. And this increasing concentration then creates a tension between using the limited resources we have more effectively. Do we allow resources to be spread out to everyone in the population so that everyone has a little bit to benefit from a little bit of resources, or do we target and focus our resources most effectively for greatest impact? And this is a difficult challenge that all of us in HIV and STD prevention have to face on a daily basis. Fourthly, the interconnectedness between a number of epidemics or syndemics, which really require us to change the current model of delivery of health and of prevention if we are going to be successful. There are too many missed opportunities for prevention. There are too many missed opportunities to deal with individuals and communities in a more holistic manner. These are demands that our clients are asking of us. These are demands that are being placed on us by our communities. And I believe that as a public health fraternity, we have a role to play to look at ways in which we can provide more holistic and comprehensive services to address these overlapping epidemics. The challenging fiscal environments require increased efficiency, harmonization, and reduction of duplication. And I think this has, again, been a recurring theme at this conference and certainly will be a trend that we'll be looking at in HIV and STD prevention. And then finally, thinking about the opportunities and challenges with health system transformation, which is a core theme of this meeting. So understanding these themes then gives us an opportunity to think about ways in which we should look at our logic model for doing HIV and STD prevention in the United States, and to think about ways in which we should be conceptualizing sexual health, and to be real about the determinants of sexual ill health in the United States today, and then consequently to design our programs to be fit for purpose. So many of us are aware that the traditional way of viewing the determinants of HIV and STIs or sexual ill health in any given population has always been conceptualized as a dynamic interaction between the infectious agent, the individual, and the healthcare system. And consequently, so many of our efforts have really been focused on behavioral or biomedical interventions, which have been really been geared towards screening, diagnosis, and treatment, dealing with behavioral change, or improving access and uptake of effective healthcare interventions. Over time, we have evolved in our understanding of some of these determinants, in part because of a greater understanding of the social and structural determinants of health. A key difference in the ways in which we need to be conceptualizing some of the individual factors now are the role of social positioning and the role and placement of that individual within the social hierarchy, and how that can have a tremendous role to play on the individual's ability to access healthcare services, to purchase health, to avail themselves of health and positive health outcomes. So factors such as an individual's education, their occupation, their income, their gender, their sexual orientation have tremendous parts to play in where those individuals are located within the social hierarchy and their ability to avail themselves of health. In addition, the social determinants of health model is explicit in articulating the role of social and structural drivers that influence both the individual factors as well as the healthcare system and have a tremendous impact on the distribution of HIV and STDs. So whether we're thinking about the socioeconomic and political context, discrimination, racism, sexism, and homophobia, residential segregation policies, whether it's sentencing policies, health policies, social policy, health insurance coverage, cultural and societal norms and values, these are all important social and structural determinants of health. So if we are truly committed to not doing the same things repeatedly and hoping for a different outcome, and if we're truly committed to learning from what we know today in terms of a better understanding of the determinants of sexual health, then it behooves us to think about more comprehensive approaches to prevention that focuses not only on the individual and the healthcare system, but begins to move upstream to tackle the social and structural drivers for health. Now, our National Center has done exactly that over the past few years in our new strategic plan from 2010 to 2015, in which we envision a future free of HIV, hepatitis, STD, and TB. And the mission of our National Center is highlighted there. But bearing in mind this logical framework for understanding the determinants of sexual health, our center has agreed to focus on six cross-cutting priorities that support the disease-specific missions within our center. Firstly, to focus on improving the integration of prevention into the healthcare system, we're committed to focusing on a goal of prevention through healthcare, to leverage prevention opportunities within the healthcare system, to take full advantage of opportunities in the Affordable Care Act, to think differently about health information technology and how that can be leveraged to advance our prevention goals. Many of you at this conference are aware of our center's priority of program collaboration and service integration, which aims to break down the barriers between the infectious diseases, to promote better collaboration across our infectious diseases, and to strengthen service integration at the client level, focusing on integrated training, integrated surveillance, integrated policies and programs to ensure that we're moving in a more holistic frame. Our center has focused on strengthening health equity and focused on adopting the social determinants of health framework to advance the science of social determinants of health, to improve the mobilization of partners, and to identify key determinants moving forward. We've also focused on strengthening our global health protection and system strengthening as key opportunities for us to not only have these contributions in the domestic front, but also to strengthen our contributions globally and to ensure that we continue to learn from the best research, program, and policy internationally to strengthen our activities here in the United States. Finally, we have focused on partnerships and strengthening our workforce and development and capacity building within the National Center, both as an internal opportunity to ensure that we have staff which are fit for purpose, given the new mandate and the new vision for what we're trying to achieve in a more holistic prevention frame for efforts, and ensuring that we're building and diversifying our partnerships to ensure that we're having partners which can enable us to be more effective in the broader social determinants of health frame. So with that, I really wanted just to provide this introduction to the presentations that you're going to be hearing about, hearing from our colleagues from the National Center this morning. The first presenter will be Dr. Jonathan Merman, who is our Director of the Division of HIV/AIDS Prevention. Many of you may be aware that Dr. Merman has been with the CDC for many years, and he was previously the Director of CDC Kenya. He brings many years' experience working in the field of HIV prevention globally and has also worked in HIV and sexual health in the United States. He brings a lot of energy and passion to his work in HIV prevention, and I would like to welcome Dr. Merman to the podium now.